Tat
then
upashrutya
hearing
nabasi
in the sky
kecharanam
of those who are flying in the air
the gandharvas
prajalpatam
the conversation
sati
sati
Dakshayani,
the daughter of Daksha.
Devi,
the wife of Shiva.
Pitri Jagya Mahautsavam,
the great festival of sacrifice performed by her father.
Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila
Prabhupada. The chaste lady Sati, the daughter of Daksha, heard the heavenly denizens flying in the sky conversing about the great sacrifice being performed by her father. When she saw that from all directions the beautiful wives of the heavenly denizens, their eyes very beautifully glittering, were near her residence and were going to the sacrifice dressed in fine clothing and ornamented with earrings and necklaces with lockets, she approached her husband, the master of the Bhutas, in great anxiety and spoke as follows. Board. It appears that the residence of Lord Shiva was not on this planet but somewhere in outer space. Otherwise, how could Sati have seen the aeroplanes coming from different directions towards this planet and heard the passengers talking about the great sacrifice being performed by Daksha? Sati is described here as Dakshayani because she was the daughter of Daksha. The mention of Upadeva Vara refers to inferior demigods like the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, and Urugas, who were not exactly demigods but between the demigods and human beings. They were also coming in planes. The word Swa, Nila, Ya, Vyase indicates that they were passing right near her residential quarters. The dresses and bodily features of the wives of the heavenly denizens are very nicely described here. Their eyes moved, their earrings and other ornaments glittered and glared, their dresses were the nicest possible, and all of them had special lockets on their necklaces. Each woman was accompanied by her husband. Thus they looked so beautiful that Sati, Daksha Yani, was impelled to dress similarly and go to the sacrifice with her husband. That is the natural inclination of a woman. Omigyan Timadandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Badantikam Vancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhu pi evacha petitana bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama.
So as we discussed last week, the main purport or the main teaching in this pastime is one must avoid Vaishnavaparad. Vaishnavaparad means offenses towards devotees. If we want to advance in spiritual life, you have to understand Vidhi and Nisheda. If you look at the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami has discussed the Vidhi and the Nisheda. The Vidhi means those things which we should do, the rules we should accept in sadhana bhakti. And then Nisheda means those things which must be avoided in sadhana bhakti. So if you want to progress, you have to do certain things. If you want to not go backwards, you have to avoid certain things. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, well, he doesn't say, but he quotes, the injunction which governs all the other injunctions for everything that we do is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna means? What things will make you remember Krishna? They're called viti. Viti means things you should do. And if you do them, they will help you to remember Krishna. As we said last week, there are five major things that you have to do. You have to chant the holy name, you have to associate with devotees, you have to hear the Bhagavatam, you have to reside in a holy place, and you have to worship the deity. Those things are the most powerful ways to remember Krishna. And Rupa Goswami says there are also certain things you must avoid, because if you don't avoid them, you'll forget Krishna. They'll make you forget Krishna. So, in the sixth chapter, then Rupa Goswami begins to give a list, 64 angas of bhakti. And then chapter 8 is called Offenses to be Avoided. So he lists the things you should do, but then he mentions some of the things you should not do, and then he expands the list. 64 things that you must avoid in chapter 8. And chapter 8 of Nectar of Devotion is very important. Because you need to understand those things that you must avoid. If you don't avoid them, if you commit those offenses, you'll go back or you will forget Krishna. So practically, you could say, the item which will make us forget Krishna more than anything else is Vaishnava Aparad. Means if you offend the devotees. If you offend the devotees, then how can you think of Krishna? Krishna will not allow you to think of him if you're offending the devotees. Because he withdraws his potency, his mercy, the potency of his internal Shakti. The Devi Prakriti will be withdrawn. And it's reciprocal. We've all experienced it. Hands up if you've ever committed an offense. Okay. So we commit offenses. And if we do commit offenses, we all experience the mercy of Krishna is withdrawn. Just like if you offend a child, the parents take offense. And if the parents take offense, they will not reciprocate with you nicely. You say, well, I didn't offend you. And they say, yeah, but you offended my child. And that's worse. Well, if you offend them, okay, that's not so bad. But if you offend the child, they become ferocious. I've seen parents are like that. You know, they're quite calm people, but if you offend the child, they become like ferocious. So Krishna is like that. If you offend Krishna, okay, Krishna, he will tolerate. But if you offend the devotee, Krishna will not tolerate. So therefore it is considered the most heinous offense, or the offense which blocks the reciprocation from Krishna the most. Krishna's reciprocation becomes withdrawn. So we experience that. So you have to be careful when we are associating with the devotees, not to commit offenses. Because if offenses are committed, then you lose your taste for chanting. So it is a reciprocal situation. There are different types of aparads. Because here the subject matter is Vaishnava aparad. But there are different types of aparads. What are the four different types of aparads we have to avoid? Jiva aparad. Seva aparad. Nama Parad and Vaishnava Parad, yeah. Four we have to. So, you commit offenses to devotees. I'll say them again, don't worry. You commit offenses to devotees, Vaishnava Parad. Commit offenses to the holy name, Nama Parad. Right? Offenses to jivas or jana aparad means any living entity. You step on an ant, that's an offense. You just offended the ant. Right? You cut down a tree unnecessarily. You read Prabhupada Lilamrita. Prabhupada went to Dallas. And when Prabhupada came to the temple, there was one, you walk around the temple, do the parakram around the temple, there was one tree very close to the house, to the building. And then Prabhupada came down the next year and the tree was gone. The devotees cut it. And Prabhupada said, where is the tree? And they said, Prabhupada was too close to the house. And Prabhupada was very upset. Why you just kill the living entity unnecessarily? You see in India, they build around the tree. Quite often you see that. If the tree is there, old tree, means they go around. It says in the Shastra, it is sinful to kill an old tree. It's sinful. So, unless there's very, very, very special reason. Otherwise, you do not do. So that is called Janaparad, Jivaparad. And then Vaishnavaparad. Vaishnavaparad, Namaparad. Sevaaparad means to the deities. If you read the 64 offences, which Rupa Goswami, most of them are towards the deities. You have to be careful of offending the deities. Because if you offend the deities, then your spiritual life becomes very difficult to progress. And Rupa Goswami says many things, if you read the list of 64 items. Don't wear red or blue. That means when you're in the deity room, you should not wear red or blue. And he said those colours are favoured by Radha and Krishna. So you don't wear them. You don't try to become the centre of attention. Like that. It says, don't bow down on one hand. Hands up if you do that. I've seen you. Devotees bowing down on one hand. I have my japa beads on one hand like this. No. When you bow down, nine parts of the body must touch the ground. Two hands, two elbows, two knees, two feet, and the forehead. That is dandavat. That is obeisances. Keeping one hand, I've got something in my hand. Oh, that's offense. Many things are there. Don't talk loudly in front of the deities. You listen this morning after Dhammadharashti, everyone. When you're in the temple, the deities are the center of attention. You speak about them. Now we're speaking about them. That is permitted. And you see devotees just talking after class. Everyone just talking. No, if you want to talk, go outside. And speak about your... have your GBC meeting outside. But in front of the deities, you don't do it. So many things are said. So many things are said. So these are aparads, offences. So we have to be careful about committing offences. That's it's here in the Bhagavatam. You have to be careful. You have to know what the offences are. You have to study the 8th chapter very, very carefully. Of all the offences you can commit, which is the most serious? Vaishnava Parada is offend the devotee. Now, if you read the 10 Nanaparads, because when you read the 64 offences, then he says, now there are 10 specifically for the holy name. They are so important. Prabhupada said we read them every morning, recite them every morning. So there are 10. You have to memorize them. Every devotee should know. What is number one? Vaishnava Parada. 7:05 every morning. We are reading. Sadhu Ninda means do not offend the sadhu. Who is a sadhu? You say, oh, that devotee sitting next to me right now, he's not a sadhu. Sadhu means Maharaj. You know, when they have saffron and danda, that is sadhu. Not all these devotees. No, every devotee is sadhu. Every devotee. So it means you cannot offend any devotee. So it is said we have to be careful about offending the devotees. Now, there are 10 offences in chanting the holy name. Right? 8 of them, which means number 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. They are overcome by knowledge, divyagan. When you have knowledge, like one of the offences is do not consider the glories of the holy name to be imagination. Right? So if you have knowledge, if you know what the holy, if you know Nam Tattva, you won't commit that offence. To consider the names of the demigods equal to or than the name of Krishna. So if you have knowledge, you'll know. Many people think all the gods are the same. Have you heard this philosophy? There's other temples in Melbourne. You just go and visit down there, southeast. Right? Every god is there in the temple. Right? Because it's like Tatsloto. You know, you want to make sure you've got a little bit everywhere. But the Bhagavatam actually says, if you worship Krishna, every other god is satisfied. It says that in the Bhagavatam itself. You don't have to worry about worshipping every single god. If you worship Krishna, all the gods will be most pleased with you. So this is just knowledge. If you have knowledge, then you won't commit any offenses. But the third offense and the first offense, they are different. The first offense is, don't blaspheme the devotees. Don't commit offenses to the devotees. What is the third offense? Guru avagya. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master or to consider him an ordinary person. Right? Those two offenses are different. And they're actually interrelated and connected. If you offend the devotees, that's the first offense, you'll then find it difficult to follow the instructions of the guru. Right? It'll be difficult to follow the instructions of the guru. Because Krishna will withdraw his potency, his mercy, the Kripa Shakti. And if you don't have Krishna's mercy, if you're not in the internal energy, you'll start struggling following the regulative principles. And we see devotees commit offenses and then they have trouble following the regulative principles. The two things are directly connected. Or you stop following the regulative principles, you stop following the instructions of the spiritual master, and then, once again, the internal energy is withdrawn, and then you start committing offenses to devotees to justify your not following the regulative principles. You know, I see that all the time. Many times I've seen. Right? Some devotee cannot follow the regulative principles. So then to justify it, he says, oh, because this devotee is doing like that. They offended me. ISKCON is... Devotees always say that, or people say that when they're struggling, they always say this. ISKCON did this. Who is ISKCON? Have you ever met ISKCON? Is there someone walking around called ISKCON? Right. ISKCON did this. Who is ISKCON? Right. Doesn't mean ISKCON, well, everyone in ISKCON is bad. Sometimes people say like that. ISKCON. It means everyone who wears tilak is bad. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Everyone wearing tilak must be a bad person. I mean, where is the logic? There's no logic there. You know, so people say it like this. So this is because you cannot follow, you are spiritually weak, then just be humble. That's okay. If you're struggling, that's okay. Just say, I'm struggling. And we will help you. What's the problem? But then you go and begin to blaspheme the devotees. Oh, this devotee did that to me, that devotee did that. I cannot follow anymore. So these things are connected. So in spiritual life, that's why it is saying here, we must be very careful about committing offenses. Yeah. Any offense to the deities, to the jiva, to the holy name, to the Vaishnava, all these things. You have to be careful. Yeah. Actually, it says all the offenses in deity worship, offenses to living entities, offenses to the holy name, they can all be overcome by sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, Namashraya. And by continuous chanting, you will overcome those reactions to those offenses. But Vaishnava Parad, right, that cannot be overcome easily. Even taking shelter of the holy name will not clear that offense completely. You have to go to the Vaishnava and you have to beg forgiveness. It says you have to bow down and beg forgiveness. Prabhuji, I'm sorry. Matiji, I'm sorry. Please accept my humble obeisances. Please forgive me. And devotees are compassionate, they will forgive. Madhurya Kanambini says, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, if you go to the devotee and you've offended them very badly and you bow down and they still don't forgive you, then you have to keep serving them. And if you serve them after a long time, and even after a long time, still they don't forgive you, then you have to take shelter of the holy name exclusively. And say to Krishna, I'm sorry, I repent for what I did, they won't forgive me, fair enough. And now you please forgive me. And then Krishna will forgive you and clear the offense. And it's a serious thing. We have to be careful. So be very careful. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, be careful about committing offenses, because that will destroy your bhakti. So, as is being said here, Sati, she is the wife of Lord Shiva. Her father is offended, her husband. Does this happen sometimes? Father-in-law doesn't get along with the son-in-law. Have you seen it?
Sometimes.
Seriously?
In India.
In India, huh? Everything happens in India. Or in India it happens more. Everything is magnified in India. Like if I was giving a lecture in India right now, this would be turned up full blast. There'd be speakers on the roof. They'd go, ah. No, everyone has to hear. That's India. Magnified. Like that. Happens everywhere, but India means, you know, I don't know what they do in India, but India, it doesn't matter what you do, you just connect it to a sound system and then everyone has to know what you're doing. Right? That's good. So, yeah, magnified. So, it happens. Son-in-law and father-in-law don't get along. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, that's the best one. That's like, if the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law actually get along, that's considered like a miracle. That's like a special mercy. That means in previous lifetimes you did austerities. And it does happen, but it's very common they don't get along. It's like a dynamic which is there, and it goes the other way too. These things are there. So this is not uncommon. Bhagavatam just gives you everything. If you go back to the beginning of the universe, everything is taking place. This is when the universe started, right? It only just started. This is like the first crop of human beings and demigods. Everyone just came out of Lord Brahma. Everything's fresh. There's no reason for any problems. And as soon as it all begins, there's problems. Right? We go back in the last canto. You had Priyavrata and Uttanapad. Right? So then Uttanapad had two wives. Right? They didn't get along. Right back from the start. And then one was being envious. And then Dhruva Maharaj. Or it's in this canto, right? Dhruva Maharaj. Fourth canto? Dhruva. Yeah, later in this canto, Dhruva is there. So later in this canto. So you see, from the start, everything went wrong. Welcome to the material world. Right? In the material world, guaranteed everything goes. Who was the first person in the material world? Lord Brahma. Right? Second canto. He appeared. Who was there? Only him. And he was sitting on a flower. And the flower started going. The winds came. And Prabhupada says, because you're in the material world, there has to be problems. There's no one else around you. No one even to, you know. And the whole thing's going. You know, welcome to the material world. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Right? Means guaranteed problems. Tukalayam. Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means? Temporary. So, okay, you just hold on to the flower, it will stop. That's the nature of this material world. It's temporary. So anything you go through in the material world, it will stop. One time, Krishna gave Arjuna a letter. So he gave a letter, and you put the royal seal on the back of the letter. You know the seal? Means they melt the wax and they... He gave him the letter, and he said... Arjuna, he said, take this letter with you. He said, open the letter in your most difficult time, your darkest hour. So Arjuna took it, very special from Krishna himself. So he kept it for years. So he always kept that letter with him. And then when he went through his most difficult situation in his life, he took out the letter and he opened the letter. And Krishna had written the letter years ago. And in gold writing, Krishna had written, this too will pass in time. coming from? Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki. So you can get a tattoo. Normally devotees don't get tattoos, but this one you can get. It is right here in Sanskrit. This too will pass in time. Right? And when you're going through a difficult time, you just read that and you say, okay, no problem. Right? Because that is the nature of the material world. You must have problem. Right? If you're not having problem, you're not in the material world. If you're not having problem, that means you are in the spiritual world. Right? It must be problem. Right? Your knee must be broken. Your ankle must be broken. Your head must be broken. Every time I come to the temple, it's like coming to some... it's like a battlefield or something. Everyone's like limping around like that. Now I say, what happened? Like some... Right. Everyone's sick. Always something going on. The main reason everyone's getting sick is because they're eating too much. That's the main reason. Prabhupada actually said that. Prabhupada was in India, right, and all his disciples were getting sick. Prabhupada said, if you want money for medicine, first fast for 3 days. If you're still sick, then I'll give you money for medicine. Prabhupada said that. Yeah. Most of them just eating too much. You know, devotees, I'm sick. Well, just fast for a day. And if you're not feeling better, then we'll give you medicine. Go to the doctor. Yeah, like I was feeling sick a couple of weeks ago. Everyone's going, Prabhuji, go to the doctor. Have antibiotic. Please. You know, that's it. Just let me just rest and fast. So I just fasted and started feeling better. You know, clear some stuff out. Start feeling better. And then gradually you come back up. Take vitamin C, just drink lemon juice and honey and lemon, those things will come. And if you're really bad, okay, have an antibiotic or something, but usually it's not so bad. As soon as devotees get sick, they just antibiotics, you know, you start throwing them. Western medicine. The point is that everything will pass in time. Everything is temporary in this material. You must suffer, and the suffering is temporary. That's the nature of the material world. Yeah? So, Sati, she is upset, naturally upset, because the husband is very qualified. Right? Shiva is very qualified, and Daksha will not give respect. So naturally, you know, it's actually Vaishnava Bharat. That's why she's really upset. And then she sees everyone in the universe is going to the sacrifice. Yeah, the Mahotsava. Bhagavatam says Mahotsava. Maha Utsava. Big festival. So no one wants to miss the festival. Right? That's why it's very important that devotees get along nicely and we treat each other nicely. Because sometimes you come to a big festival but there's some devotee there you're not getting along with and it creates a mood and a vibration. Just go to the devotee and say, Prabhuji, I'm sorry. You know, please, sometimes, you know, I commit mistakes. I'm sorry if I offended you. Let's just dance and chant together. This is the remedy. If you're not getting along with devotee, then do kirtan together for 4 hours. Right? And then dance and chant together in ecstasy. And then you cannot... If you still have a problem with devotee, it means now you've really got big false ego. But otherwise it will destroy all these things. Prabhupada said that if devotees dance and chant together in the morning and the evening... He said, management will be at your fingertips. Means your whole life will just run smoothly. So this is the system in ISKCON. Prabhupada said, ISKCON sandwich. Evening time, right? Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Morning time, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Middle, seva. Right? That's the ISKCON sandwich. And if you do that, everything will be simple. Prabhupada said, management will be at the fingertips. And I know that myself. When I absorb myself in hearing and chanting, everything's just easy. Krishna takes care of it. When you think you are the doer, kartaham iti manyate, it's me, I'm the doer, then it's never easy. But when you let Krishna, I'll just be your instrument, I'll just try to serve you, then everything becomes easy. Hare Krishna. Do not offend devotees. Vaishnava parada ki? Not good. Don't do Vaishnava Puja. Bhagavatam is teaching. Bhagavatam says, do not do Vaishnava Parad. So Bhagavatam is saying it, don't do it. Yeah? Prabhupada said, simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. If you just follow Bhagavatam, your life is simple. Don't offend devotees, your life is simple. Right? Offend devotees, complicated. Everything becomes, oh, I can't talk to that one, I can't talk. Sometimes we're organizing some function, and then, you know, the devotee rings up, says, come, and then you say, who is there? Who is coming? Oh, this one is coming. Okay, make sure I don't sit next to them. It's like everything becomes complicated. Oh, no, I can't invite that because my wife's not talking to this one. And it's like, you know, it's like the whole thing becomes complicated. This is actually a fact. Keep your life simple. And if there's some problem with the devotee, just go to the devotee and say, Prabhuji, I'm sorry. Mataji, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Not so difficult, is it? But the false ego is so big. I will not bow down. Just like I was in Vrindavan 2002. Gopanim time. And Gopanim in Vrindavan means holy. Everyone's doing holy. So they made a rule. They made an announcement. No holy in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So, okay, everyone follow. And one devotee was Gopanim morning. So he was obviously, I don't know, a little bit excited or something. So a few devotees walked past, he threw some colour on them. But then the devotee threw the colour and he got really angry. It was Gopanim, and you're in Vrindavan. He got really, I couldn't believe it. He was going to like literally kill this devotee. Angry, and then the security guards had to come and grab. So they grabbed the devotee who, because he'd broken the rule, and they were taking him away. Dragging him away. And then the other devotee picked up a stick and he was following him. And he was waiting till they got him outside the temple. And he's going to hit him with a stick. And I was just sitting there chanting my japa and I'm thinking, oh my God. It's a little bit of pink on your kurta, you know. And then you're going to kill a devotee. Like on Gopanim in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So don't offend. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Trinada Piyasunichina. Tarora Piyasihishna. What is Taro? Taru.
Tree.
What does Lord Chaitanya say? Be more tolerant than a
tree.
Are we more tolerant than a tree? No, we don't even know what tolerant. We can't even spell tolerant. Lord Chaitanya says, be more tolerant than a tree. Difficult, that's your problem. But Lord Chaitanya says, be more tolerant than a tree. Because he says, this verse, Trinara Pisinichina, Tarora Pisinichina, he said, you wear that on your neck like Kanti Mala, Krishna's Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That verse is called Siddha Pranali. That verse will give you perfection. You'll become pure devotee if you can master that one verse. That verse is the gateway between Bhajana Kriya and Nishta. If you want to become steady, nishta, you have to perfect that verse. More tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass. Always offer respect to others, never expect respect for yourself. Four items are there. Tolerance, humility, respect, and not expecting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of the four, the most important is manadena. Always offer respect to others. That's the most important. So if we can master that consciousness, that verse, our lives just become very, very easy. Kirtaniyaha sada hari. Means you can always chant, you can always fix on Krishna, your life becomes simple. Right? But when we complicate everything, don't offer respect, not humble, not tolerant, right? Want respect all the time. Right? Can't advance in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Chaitanya made it easy. Hare Bama, just take one verse, concentrate on that, do it. Right? But we have to complicate everything. Oh no, I can't do like that. I can't offer respect to everyone. Anyone who wears saffron, I can respect. But not the white one. What was that? That's how we think. That's how we think. I offer respect to Maharaj, but not to... My Guru Maharaj, you know, used to get in the car sometimes. with his god brother. One time Giriraj Maharaj got in one side, Tamokrishmaro. So we're Tamokrishmaro's side. So we all run around the car to Tamokrishmaro's side. Open the door and like this. He just stood there, he looked at us. He said, "Go and serve Giriraj." Right? So we all ran around the other side of the car, like, you know, like that. It's just no brains. Oh, I'll serve this one, but I won't serve that one. What's the difference? Guru and Guru's god brother, same. Actually, Guru is more pleased when you serve god brother, because we're neophyte, we think, oh no, I have to serve Guru. One time I was serving Burujan Prabhu, Dhananath Swami, Giriraj Maharaj, Tamokrishmaraj. They're all sitting in like that shape. Tamokrishmaraj there. I think Giriraj Maharaj or Dhananath Swami. So I go straight to Tamokrishmaraj to serve, because he's my Guru Maharaj. Right? Burujan Prabhu said, serve Dhananath Swami first. Cause, you know, do it in the line naturally. You know, do it properly. Understand, use some brains. Like that. And we have to learn to see the devotees properly, equally. One time Prabhupada was walking into the Krishna Balaram Mandir with his disciple Dhananjaya Prabhu, right, who was the temple president of the temple at that time. And Prabhupada said to him, he looked at him and he said, "Why you have not done like this?" Something they were talking about. "Why have you not done like this?" And Dhananjaya Prabhu said, "Oh, Prabhupada, because, you know, you made some excuse." And Prabhupada looked at him. He said, "Yes, because everything in there is just cow dung." Only cow dung in there, only. Nothing else, just cow dung. That's our problem. You know, you come to the farm for Gopuji, you put it in there, and then it's all... Yeah, we're walking around too much cow dung in here, and we don't... You know, so if you want to advance in Krishna, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. If you're not conscious, you can't become Krishna conscious. This is the point. This is our problem. Too much false ego, too much, you know. I'll offer respect to you, but not to you. What is that? What is the difference? What is the difference? Everyone is Krishna's servant, so what's the difference? What, serving Krishna's servant is not good enough for you? Actually, in the Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur says, if you want to overcome your envy towards the Vaishnava, he said, go to the Grihastha Vaishnava and serve them. Because sometimes you think, oh, the renunciants, you know, I'll serve the renunciants, but not the Grihasthas. He said, no, go to the Grihasthas and serve the Grihasthas. Because you'll serve the renunciants anyway, that's already there. So this is, he actually says, if you want to overcome this envious mentality, you need to do like that. So don't commit offenses to the devotees. That's the purport, right? The Bhagavatam is teaching us. So we'll stop here. We'll see if any questions or comments what we discussed. If you don't get along with a particular devotee, should we avoid them? Rupa Goswami says, offer respect in the mind. Because sometimes there's certain devotees, it's like oil and water, they just don't mix. Because their guna is different. Like some devotees I just don't gel with. Because my nature is to make jokes all the time. I always say this, I always say that, like that, you know. And some devotees just find me very strange. Like, who is this guy? You know, some devotees say to me, I don't know if you're serious or not serious. So it just doesn't mix. Right? So in the mind, we offer respect, but we may have to distance a little bit. Otherwise, you know, it becomes a little bit complicated. But then try to serve them. You know, if like some feast is there, you serve the prasad to them and try, you know, to do seva to them. But maybe if it's not clicking or working properly, not gelling, then just have a little distance. But in the mind, always be respectful. Is it okay? Question?
What's the tense offense of bullying? The lower that is overcoming by knowledge, or is this more by
the other offenses? The other.
The
tenth one is?
To still maintain a good attachment, even after listening to so many instructions.
On this matter.
On this matter.
Yeah. To maintain material attachments. You'll overcome that by association. By association. And Haridas Thakur, from memory, he says, by living simply. Because we have so many material attachments because we need so many things. Oh, I need this and I need that, and now I need that and I need that. And you know the story of the devotee, and his kopins were being eaten by the mouse. So he had two sets of kopins. Right. So the mice was eating the kopin when it was hanging up dry, and the mice was eating it. So he thought, okay, I'll get a cat to chase the mouse. So he got the cat, and the cat was making noise. He was hungry. He said, I have to get a cow to milk the cow, to give milk to the cat, to keep the cat. But then the cow needed someone to look after it. So then he thought, now I have to get a wife. Go get the wife. And the wife will milk the cow to give the milk to the cat. So the cat will eat the mouse to not eat my kopins. So when it got to that point, he thought, okay, I'll just have one set of kopins. So Haridas Thakur, he says to us, maintain material attachments even after the song. So then lessen your attachments. Live simply. The Prabhupada's motto was simple living, high thinking. Yeah. Just keep your life more simple. That's best. Brahmachari is best. Okay, if you're Grihastha, but then Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur said, Brahmachari Grihastha. You're Grihastha, but you live like a Brahmachari. More simple. And if you live like that, then everything is more easier. So that's knowledge like that. You have to learn what to do properly. And you get association with strong devotees. Your devotees, you see, okay, they're Grihasthas, but they live like Brahmacharis. Associate with them. Or Brahmacharis that are very strong. You can go like that. It's okay. Any other question? Narottam is the greatest devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Narottama Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya went to the Padma River in Bangladesh. And Lord Chaitanya entered the river. And when he was in the river, he came up and he said, Narottama, 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 Narottama. And the devotee said, who is this Narottama? Lord Chaitanya said, he will come. So Lord Chaitanya left his prema, Gauranga Prem, in the river. And then Narottama was a prince. He was born, his mother and father were like a king and a queen in Bangladesh, very wealthy. But he had no attachment to material world. So he went to the Padma River and he took bath, and he was dark, his skin is dark. He went into the river, and when he came out, and Lord Chaitanya left the prema, and all the prema, and then his body turned gold, golden colour, like Lord Chaitanya. And he came out and he said, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And then he became a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He travelled to Vrindavan and he studied under Jiva Goswami with Shamananda Prabhu and Srinivasacharya. And then Jiva Goswami says, now you go back to Bengal, to Orissa, to Bangladesh, and you preach there. So he came back with the other two, and then they preached all through that area, Bangladesh, Bengal, Orissa. And then if you go today to Bangladesh, they have Mahotsav, big festivals in honor of Narottam Das Thakur. And Atul Krishna Prabhu, my good friend, he's been there many times. He said 100,000 people come. That's like MCG, whole full. 100,000 people come, even to this day, to honor Narottama Das Thakur. So today we pray for the mercy of Narottama Das Thakur, and we pray that he will inspire us in our Krishna consciousness. We haven't got time to say too many things. Any other question? Yeah, but when Prabhupada was here, not many devotees could get close to Prabhupada. Right? Everyone wanted to be with Prabhupada, you could not get close to him. The system is that you associate by vani, by hearing from the devotee, or you associate with those who are close to them. So if you can't directly get to the devotee, like you know, Radhanath Swami. So I go to Mayapur in a few days. I'm praying Krishna allows me to go to Mayapur. Radhanath Swami is there. I'd love to go and just associate with Radhanath Swami. I walk up to Maharaj and say, Maharaj, can I just stay with you all day? He's going to say no. So I have to go and listen to him, get the vani, right, and associate with his followers in that way. So you can't always get the association of the very event, so it may not be possible. Is it okay? Okay. You had a question?
I was thinking once when some tradition they try to wish on the street and they stand and they ask, is anyone in your, you know, there is no one in the world who got resurrected like Jesus, you know, he died and he got up after 3 days. And I said, yes, actually we have in our tradition that that kind of resurrection, Narottama Das died, and the others were offending him because he was not Brahmana caste or something, and the disciples were crying, so he got up after being dead. And then after he emerged in the water, and then he went up.
Yeah, and Haridas Thakur also, same thing happened. Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.